if you want to get some drugs, hard drugs, you can go to Parkdale and mess your entire life up and be a potential A&E intervention show. You can do that there. But you can also really change your life for the greater good in Parkdale as well.
This is The Public. The Public is a weekly conversation about ideas and undercurrents in Canadian culture on CIUT 89.5. If you like what you hear, or if you don't, we're eager to hear from you. You can find us at thepublicconversation.blogspot.ca or email us at thepublicconversation@gmail.com. Gwen MacDonald is a young entrepreneur and an active participant in and advocate for Toronto's community of Parkdale. But for all of that, she's taken a decidedly unconventional approach. First of all, she operates under an alias, Goldie Lock and Load. And secondly, her vehicle for making these positive changes is the roller skate. Here to speak with me today about the slow explosion of roller derby culture, about turning her passion into a business, and the cultural and classist battleground of Parkdale is Goldie Lock and Load.
Hey there, you summed it up nicely, huh?
I do my homework. First of all, Gwen or Goldie, which would you prefer, first of all?
Today, let's go with Goldie.
Goldie? All right, well, stick to your stage name.
I'm in a Goldie mode.
Excellent. So, Goldie, would you please tell us about what you did before opening your roller skate store, My Roll Life, and even before discovering your passion for roller derby and roller skating? What brought you to where you are today?
Well, backstory before it even all began was I worked in the music industry. I did some traveling, lived abroad. And when I came back to Toronto, I found myself wanting an outlet and a way to lose some weight, make some new friends. And a neighbor of mine had worked at Steam Whistle Brewery, said a fundraiser was coming up, and I showed up. Something about roller derby was all I knew. Something about roller derby, and I decided to show up. Since then, in 2007, it's changed my life, leading to where we are today. And it led up to a point where I'd shuffled around, fell in love with it, with different teams, and decided to make a go of it on my own.
So from falling in love with the sport, you've become an organizer yourself. Mm-hmm. That's quite a leap for most people.
For most people, yeah. It's been a learning curve of learning about myself and what I'm capable of and what risks I'm willing to take. I'm a risk taker in the fact that I will start a new business or I will just get my bags together, take a one-way ticket and move abroad. I won't go on a roller coaster though, forget it. But the risks where I don't see any real physical danger, I say that it's roller derby, but there's a different balance for me. It's a bit of a dichotomy on what risks I'll take.
And it seems like you really throw yourself into your projects and your passions rather than dabbling.
Yeah, I think most people should. I don't think that you should do things in half measures. If you're going to go for it, go all out. I think a lot of the background, what I take from learning my experience in the music industry when I started in my early 20s, was that to be an organizer of people, take leadership, and I've just found it an easy flow. Because if you're in a room with a bunch of people, you realize someone, if there's not too many cooks, someone needs to be the cook there. Because a lot of people flounder around. Okay, look, I can take control of the situation. I'm that person. I'll lead it. And treating a team is not too dissimilar than being in a band. And, I've always wanted to be a rock star. I think that's why people get into the music industry. They want to be part of that. In reality, I can't keep a tune. I will never learn effective instrumentation of anything. So you want to be in the scene somehow. For a band to get together and be effective in what they do, they need to practice regularly. And I find a very strong similarity to running a team or running an organization. You just need to find the right people to play the right parts, and you need to keep it going and have some regularity. The business side of things was also really positive in that I learned about marketing and publicity and how to get things for free, because ad space is not free. But if you can find ways to make yourself different, because everyone, for example, if you're in a band, is trying to get editorial space. Anybody in Toronto trying to do something is trying to get editorial space. But if you can find other avenues of making it make sense, tie-ins with charities or your local community, so it's not just, hey, look at me, you're also showing on how you are involved and there's a ripple effect with you.
So that really leads into this community development activity that you've worked on then with the it's not a foundation.
It's a roller skating association. That was a big part of differentiating this organization from others. When people start into the sport of roller derby, their main association is finding their local league. And we have leagues here in Toronto. There's a few of them. Toronto is a hotbed of roller derby activity. For us, and my decision making in the West End was that I wanted a roller skating association, because I do feel for some people there's a context of what roller derby means.
And I'd like to get into that, actually.
Yeah.
We've spoken about roller skating and roller derby, but we haven't really spoken about what roller skating is, what roller derby is.
And they're different.
Exactly.
They're different animals. I mean, people that get into, think about roller skating. You say roller skating, oh yeah, I used to go to a local rink, or I used to have my white high tops, my Dominion Made in Canada skates down the street. If you say roller derby, their mindset goes into, ooh, that's pretty tough. Oh, are you a lesbian? What about those bank tracks? Are you guys throwing elbows, clotheslining people? The misconceptions of the sport. And they make sense where they come from. I understand how it's been stereotyped. I get it. It makes sense. For me, having a roller skating association was to get people idea, oh, no, we're not going to pressure you to play roller derby. I just want to see people on roller skates again. You know, we see inlines everywhere. Mm-hmm. But for me, strapping on roller skates changed my life in such a positive way that I really get excited to have it on other people. I joke around that it's like a cult. You go around and we do feel like we're recruiting people. Oh, here come the Jehovah's Witnesses of roller derby, in essence. But that's what we are. We realize what a positive change it's made on many of us, just even from a fitness level and a community aspect level and getting to know other people.
So can you explain to me how a roller derby match is held, the rules, regulations, how one scores, etc.?
Sure. The common terminology for a roller derby match is actually we call it a bout.
Ah.
It's got that tagline. I think it's supposed to say make it sound tougher, and it does. You know, it's a bout. It's a versus. It's a 2 30-minute period game. Those periods are broken up into what we call jams. Those jams can last up to a maximum of 2 minutes. You field 5 of your teammates at a time. So there's 5 black, let's say 5 white. 4 of those are blockers, and 1 of them is a jammer. The jammer has a star on their helmet cover, and they're the point scorer. They're the ball in derby, as I air quote that. We want to pass that person, the jammer, through us and lap us again. And after their first lap in that 2-minute jam, they can score points. For every opponent that they pass, they get a point.
I see.
To a maximum of 4, and up to 5 if they pass the other jammer, which we call a grand slam.
Okay. But you called
it's a lot more complicated than that, but
that's
the basics.
Of course. So essentially the goal is to have the identified individual round the track as many times as possible through these physical obstacles.
Yeah. And it's not that it's more control too, because you want to get them around that pack of the blockers. Because if we're having to make them chase, it's a lot of work for them. We want to get control of the pack, hold it into, let's say, the top corner of this oval that we're playing in. So that person doesn't have to chase us. They can come back around, meet us. We're holding everybody, help them zip through. Blockers are playing offense and defense at the very same time. They're trying to help their jammer whilst hindering the other one.
And it is very physical, you say?
Yes.
Are elbows thrown? Are clotheslines thrown?
Elbows happen. Sometimes, you know, people claim it's intentional and girls get really feisty in the law of finger pointing. But if a referee, a skating official, sees the impact and the penalty, they'll call it. If it's enough to move somebody out of the way, and sometimes it's incidental, you know, it's a lot of jostling, so you get a little elbow. But sometimes people with a follow through, with a big body hit, their arm will come up, extend, and the elbow will follow through. And that's a no-no. You can't be doing that. And no back blocking, no low blocking, so no tripping, no coming up on somebody and shoving them in the back sort of thing. And anything, you know, shoulders above your neck, head area, that's big time trouble. Nobody wants to get hit in the head, and we all look out for each other. A sternum check can go very badly. Hmm. You can get a shoulder in the throat. Happens.
So in describing this very physical sporting confrontation in the context of having said roller skating changed your life, mm-hmm. what is it that drew you to roller skating and ultimately roller derby?
Well, I'd recalled skating as a kid. What started for me was, like I said, the woman I know that worked at Steam Whistle and knew about this fundraiser that a local roller derby team was putting on. I just got and hung out with her across the road, you know, hanging out Parkdale style. I'll just leave it like that. And I was just chatting. I'd come out of a breakup. I felt fat. I felt overweight. You know, I'm not going to put it nicely, like I was a little bit chubby. I was feeling fat and I wanted to do something and just have something different happen. I wanted to rediscover my youth in a way. I was just coming up to a point. I was still not quite 30. I'm in my 30s now, but I felt I needed to make a change. I'm not a jogger. I'm not a person that goes to the gym. There's no spin classes for me, no yoga, you know, none of that. But I realized that my body was requiring something because, you know, I like to party. Music industry mm-hmm. brought that out in me, or, you know, it was there and it was a good buddy. But I like to have fun. And my body was just saying, you can have fun, but you're going to need to do something differently with it. So talking to her, I'm like, oh, what should I do? And I had just joked around, maybe I should take up roller skating. Like it was the funniest thing I'd ever said. And it was kind of, you know, it'll stop, drop, eyes open, jaws open. I'm just like, oh, you should do roller derby. And I had vaguely heard about roller derby in TV. I didn't really know much about it, but you put two and two together and people have this conception of what it is. And that was mine. And she said the fundraiser was going on. I thought I would check it out, learned more. And from roller skating turned into, okay, I'm going to try what I can barely do on skates in a game format. Let's do this. You know, there's going to be a point where I will be physically unable to play roller derby. I don't think I could ever give up roller skating. I see myself skating as a senior citizen. I really do. I think it's a great low-impact exercise. It's not like jogging where you're really hard on your knees and your back, and I have a lot of back issues. I find that I have a hard time walking 30 minutes now without getting pinched nerves, but I could skate for 3 hours.
So you've taken your personal love and turned it into something much bigger. You're now the founder and current captain of a roller derby team, the Roller Jets. Can you tell me about the portion of the team's mission statement? It says, quote, the entertainment and theatrical aspects of roller derby are actively encouraged in terms of costume and showboating and in no way compromise the integrity of gameplay. Is it like pro wrestling then, or like the Mexican masked wrestlers, or where it's a combination of skill and theatrics? Or?
It can be. And for each team and each league and each individual that's involved in roller derby, I think everyone has their own opinion on where they want to see this sport evolve to. I think some people believe that it's a de-evolution of the sport if you go into wearing like Mexican Luca masks and what have you. But I think for us and the team that I play for and what I'm trying to encourage with our group, is that yes, it's definitely a sport we're playing. You cannot deny that there are rules, it's officiated, and there's a score at the end of it. The entertainment aspect of roller derby is what made it so entertaining to begin with for people to show up. For us, and when I say us, I'm talking about the 20 to 30 somethings that are on my team, that we all recognize if we were playing a local softball sort of situation, we are not gonna get all our neighbors in the community and our friends and family to come out once a month to watch us play a game and pay money. It's just not going to happen. But if we can give people a bit of a show, because we have crazy names, some of us play up on our crazy names with the costuming and things like that and makeup and persona or how you behave on the track. There's a real split. And that again, I feel it comes in back to my music industry experience. You know, Beyonce's got her sash of fierce. There's some people that are a different beast in the studio than they are on stage, or what they actually do to make money, because music isn't paying the rent for them. this is a great outlet to have some fun. So you can be a rock star in a way. I always can say, like, we're a band, guys. We stay together. But if we don't practice together or work together, we're not going to sound or look as tight as we should.
You referenced the colorful names and the alter egos. On your team, you have stage names that include Knocker Mom, Ambulance, mm-hmm. Ambulance, I think that's brilliant,
yeah.
Punky Bruiser, yourself, your Goldilocks and Load. Mm-hmm. Can you tell me about that tradition of renaming oneself and why it's taken that particular tone, the sort of B-movie rock and roll sort of flavor?
It is really rock and roll. I think that is what it comes from. And when the sport started years and years ago, I'm not even going to quote what it is because it's decades now and black and white time, before there was color, it seems. It's, I think for women that were playing that sport at the time, you don't want to be Little Miss Molly Homemaker unless you want to be Little Miss Molly Homewrecker because you sound tougher then, you know? And it helps because you are getting beaten up and you are getting knocked down again. But if you can separate yourself, I think it's really important. If you are a really good skater or if you're a really good rock star, you have a tendency to have the possibility of your ego inflate. But if you can keep it in check and be like, this is separate, and compartmentalizing, I think it's a really useful tactic. And it's just a fun thing, too. There is a revolution in the sport now where some people are really wanting to, as I throw up the air quotes, legitimize roller derby and go back to using, well, not even go back, but use people's surnames as a sport, as you would in NHL or the NFL, anything like that. But there's a lot of us that kind of want to keep the fun aspect. So it'll split. It's because it's not defined, it can do whatever it wants, wherever it wants to, with whatever group.
This subculture is kind of steering itself in many different directions at once, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, there was alternative rock. And then now how many facets of alternative are there? I think that is the same can be said about roller derby. You can have recreational teams. You can have highly competitive teams. You can have a low contact team. And how you want to run that aspect is up to the group that runs it. Because there's nobody telling us what to do. You have to get a group of people and have consensus on here's how we're going to run our team.
And with your team and with the league in which you're playing, there's a real, a lighthearted tone, not only to your team, but also the sport. For instance, to join the Roller Jets, potential team members have to follow a 12-step program.
yeah.
But at the same time as this very lighthearted tone, there's really serious organization behind it. You have a 25...
Why, thank you.
It's true. You have a 2,500-word handbook, a code of conduct. I'm guessing that's your doing.
And that's the short handbook because we've decided this year we need to make additions to it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. This will be the Bible.
So with so much organization behind it, and at the
admin. It's not always all rock and roll, you know? There's a lot of organization and meetings and things that have to happen to, you know, I'm not a dictator. It'd be easier sometimes if I were, but we are governed by laws in Canada. We run this under the umbrella of a nonprofit corporation. So there are rules we have to have. We have to have a board of directors. We have to have policies. We have to have code of conducts, constitutions. As lighthearted as we want it to be, we still have to work within certain parameters.
And it seems you've really struck that balance between rigorous structure and the fun outlet that is the boat.
Yeah, because you can get wrapped up in policy. And I've had that experience myself. And there's a quote I've loved since, you know, experiencing the exact same thing is, committees are the death of any good idea. And I find that really true. If you have a work group that talks about one thing and they have to go back to another thing and they have a study and go back, the idea can get lost or the focus can go away or, you know, what's the ROI, return on investment? If we're going to put in this many hours, how is this going to benefit the team? You know, and these are questions that do have to be asked, but it can suck for somebody that comes into the organization. I have this great idea. And someone goes, yeah, we've been down that road. Car wash. Yeah, we've never heard of a car wash before to raise funds. Oh, have a band play. Yeah, we've never heard that before. But anybody that comes, we have to go, oh, it's your idea? Cool. Are you going to run with that? just give me a task. You can be the organizer. Mm-hmm. It happens, but there's protocols we have to go through.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, to maintain a league and a team, et cetera. So.
For sure. And it's a lot of people.
And you're the organizational, you're the person who penned those 2,500 words in your handbook? Are you the organizer? You're the pillar of strength underneath it all?
Yeah, I have the founder title. People say they wear a lot of hats. I joke and I say I wear a lot of helmets. Hmm. I've taken on a lot of roles and I try and delegate as much as I can. Sometimes it comes back to me and life happens to other people and I realize no one's getting paid to do this. This is volunteer. So any great idea, which I feel the Roller Jets and the West End Waywards Roller Skating Association is, really still comes back to me. Okay, it's my idea. How much work am I going to put into it? Where am I going to get the right people? But what was the point of the question? I skipped away.
But then you run with it. So it's turned into something bigger than just a personal project.
Yeah, a lot of people are on board with it. They see the potential. They want to be involved. And that's great for me.
The people who are involved are primarily female. Roller derby is primarily a female sport. Is that right?
Yeah, the people that are on the track are female. There is men's derby coming up in co-ed, but of the, I don't know what it is, 700 plus leagues now, they are majority women. There's like, we're the 99%.
Nice. Well, for the 1% of men, they can be referees, stats keepers, cheerleaders even. Mm-hmm. What do the cheerleaders wear?
Depends on the group. This is the thing. It takes people. And we're always recruiting. Always recruiting. But to have all these people, cheerleaders or officials that are on skates or off skates to keep everything going and just giving it the proper elements of excitement that it does with cheerleaders and things like that. You notice we call them cheerleaders versus cheerleaders. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, cool. Different teams, different leagues will have a theme for maybe their cheerleaders. You know, sometimes they're just mechanic suits, but they jump around, have, you know, instruments and what have you. But it just really depends on the group. Some people just go out and wear a banana costume, you know, just something different.
Again, to contribute to the spectacle, the entertainment factor.
And the people that are attracted to roller derby are far and wide mix. And people come into it for many, many different reasons. And what they take away from it sometime can be different experience from one person to the next. But when you're in, you're in. The people that kind of sit on the fence, you wonder when they're going to switch. Because there's no real half measures in it either. Because you're really gung-ho full about it. Or you could take it or leave it.
Hmm. And your organization of this team and this sport has turned into something larger. You've now started Toronto's third roller skating association, the West End Waywards Roller Skating Association, which is an incorporated not-for-profit providing roller skating-based initiatives in Toronto's West End. The organization's goals include establishing a roller skating burlesque troupe, a co-ed team, and a skate dance crew. And all of these activities are intended to support your organization's values of charity, community, fitness, fun, and women.
Mm-hmm.
Is roller derby feminist, political?
I think for some people it becomes a bit of a soapbox. And I think that's fine. If, you know, you're an opportunist, go for it. I think that if you want to say that roller derby is feminist, sure, because if you're a feminist, you're looking for equality. That being said, there aren't a lot of men's derby teams out there. But I think all the women that I have experienced believe in equality and are pro-women, but not anti-male. And I do think that there's a stereotype sometimes with roller derby that you become anti-male or anti-family, or you're all a bunch of homosexuals with this some left-wing agenda. Some people get really crazy about it. Like, you may raise your eyebrows and think, well, that's a bit of a jump from, hey, these chicks are playing sports. Look at them in their fishnets and their roller skates. But it can get political, and it can get political within organizations as well. If you find a city with more than one league, you have yourself a story of a split somewhere in the past. The ethics or the goals of the one group where everyone had started, there was a dynamic shift, and something happened to polarize a group. So someone split off and started something. And there you've got a built-in rivalry if they play each other, because sometimes they just won't have anything to do with each other.
That's how deep the rift can be.
Yes, absolutely.
Even the name of your team has a real feminist flair to it, or
yes,
flavor, I should say. You're called the Roller Jets, and about the name, you have written, "The women who participated in the movement that publicly campaigned and proved that women had the right to vote were known as the suffragettes. Thus, the team name is a play on that." You like to kid around that where those women earned the right to vote, roller skaters earn the right to roll with the team.
Yeah.
Can you tell me about the decision to name the team that?
Yeah, and also with our use of a non-logo kind of ties into that. I find a lot of roller derby teams have a playoff of, like my experience, I played for the Toronto Roller Derby Smoke City Betties. And there's a lot of teams with the Betties or the Bells or the Dolls or the something hers. You know, it's very female quality, tough, what have you. But I really just wanted to go back to something really simple, like the suffragettes. Hey, look, we couldn't make strides like we're doing now and playing modern roller derby without these people that came before us. And I wanted to play on that. I thought it was great. Unfortunately, when people read Roller Jets, sometimes they'll read it as Roller Gets or Roller Getties, and then I have to go, come on, man, David Bowie, Suffragette City. And then they go, oh yeah, yeah, I knew. And I just, great, okay, cool, you know now, and, you know, fist bump and everything is okay again. But I just thought it was a really simple name, and we as the Roller Jets and even as the West End Waywards don't have a female depiction or an icon or a caricature of a woman. For me, seeing so many images of pinup girls on skates was like, that's not my body type. That's not necessarily what I'm looking for my team. You know, if we were lingerie football and that was what you sign up for, you know, okay, you need to look like a Maxim model and be physically fit and be able to play the sport. Okay, that sells us as we are. And I don't want a team member coming in wearing a shape of a woman that's supposed to represent them when they have nothing in common. You know, if my skater's 200 plus pounds or if she's just over a buck, you know, this curvy pinup girl doesn't portray her.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't portray me. And I don't think that's the point. If people come to the game and you'll hear this like time and time again, people show up, especially males. Oh yeah, I heard it's a bunch of chicks gonna knock each other out. They got like fishnets on. It's gonna be so badass. And they watch, and that's what the eye candy is at first. You know, that's the draw. That's why they're not coming to watch us at softball. But they're coming to watch us play roller derby. It's more physical. There's, again, more eye candy to see. With, you know, we're wearing booty shorts, we're wearing stockings, and depending on who you are, me, I like leggings. I like to feel like I'm playing in my underwear. It's just a lot more comfortable. I don't have a tutu that someone might tear off of me. I don't want to get pantsed. Things like that. The reality kicks in of, oh, I could wear this, but this might not be a good scene when the photos come up on Facebook after the weekend. Or, you know, you don't care. You just untag yourself.
So you bring up comparisons to Maxim girls and to lingerie football. Is that comparison often made?
Well, I know for some people in the roller derby community, when in Toronto had its lingerie football, and there's other cities in the States I'm aware that have the game there, because my man Snoop Dogg's a big proponent of it. But I wish I knew that guy. We should sponsor my team. But
we'll make a call out right now.
Right?
Snoop Lion, if you're listening.
Yeah, Snoop Lion, that's right. The comparison can get made by people in a way. But it's a coin that gets flipped time and time again. And I never know which one is going to land up, like which side. Because some people, again, make the assumption, oh, you know, there's some hot girls there. Or, oh, yeah, no, they're just a bunch of bull dykes. And it really goes from that extreme to another. And I'm not going to try and sugarcoat it because that's what I deal with constantly.
That was Gwen McDonald, also known as Goldie Lock and Load, speaking about some of the stereotypes surrounding roller derby. You're listening to The Public on CIUT 89.5, and we'll get back to the conversation right after we play the quintessential, stereotypical roller skating song, Brand New Key. We're going to play the cover by the Dolly Rots. That was a classic roller skating tune, Brand New Key, as covered by the Dolly Rots. We'll now get back to the conversation with Gwen McDonald about the role roller skating can play in community development and the cultural shift taking place in Parkdale.
Now that I have a shop, I have the public coming in. I feel like the 411 of roller skating and roller derby. And this is the common theme. You'll constantly hear the same questions. And I feel like at FAQ. About it. And a lot of us do. It's almost like, not that we're indoctrined in that the same stock answers, but we are all fighting misconceptions and stereotypes constantly. I mean, it's just, it's a reflection of life how it is as well at that point too.
So is that why you've chosen the colors of the suffragettes to represent the roller jets, a real connection to the past and the history of female and feminist growth? The suffragettes wore decorations on their outfits using three colors to decorate and designate themselves. Purple symbolizing dignity, white for purity, and green for hope. Do those represent then what it is you intend to do with roller skating, roller derby, your team, and ideally?
The team, the ideals for the team. You know, we hope we will win. When we say purity, we're not saying that we're a bunch of
it's
virgins.
Not chastity, it's
yeah,
not.
Like we're not going out there, okay, here are your skates, now you're going to practice abstinence. It's not like that. It's more we want to keep the sport element pure.
If everything fell into place, what would you hope to accomplish with all of this that you're putting into the sport and in the community?
Really? Big picture goal?
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that come into the store, oh, wow, roller skates. I didn't even know you could get these anymore. And that hurts my heart. It does. Because my skates, they travel with me now. They're everywhere. They're such an important piece of my life. If you talk to cyclists in the city, hardcore cyclists, that's how they feel about their bicycle. And I understand that. I love my bike too, but I have a little bit more love for my roller skates now. Don't let my bike hear that, but it's true. And I just want that feeling for somebody else. And if it's not with having a pair of roller skates, it's the sense of being empowered. So on an individual basis, I would like that for anybody that comes in. In a community sense, I'd like us to be more known. I'd like people to understand that there is roller skating out there. Everything that is old becomes new again. Inlines, the brand name was rollerblades, most people know them, but inline skates really took over the market for roller skates. I would like them to get back on board. I think it's an excellent facility to get some exercise and have some fitness and find another sense of community as well. That being said, there is an eye on the prize goal. I actually have a physical goal of a space. Sororn and Dundas at Sororn Park in the middle of Parkdale, kind of near the train lines, there's an old linseed factory. There's a field house that got built there recently based on community effort. This, the factory could be the Wabash Community Center. It's on Wabash there. There's people that have, you know, done up the designs and the potential. I've been to residents association meetings. It looks awesome. It looks great. But right now, I think it's pretty much a sketch and a wish. Money talks, right? I would love to find a way for our roller skating association to register a charity number and become heavily involved with our local counselors and whoever businesses want to get on board and have this community center actually realized, and for us to have a piece in there. If they are really gung-ho about having a space for basketball and having that auditorium, I would like to negotiate a flip side of it where it has a dual purpose. Okay, I don't know how many women in Parkdale or the area are playing basketball, but I know there's a lot of women that need a space to play roller derby and to roller skate. There aren't a lot of facilities for women to play sports. We get edged out by things that have existed longer than us. And sometimes the reputation of roller derby also prevents us from booking spaces. It just happens. I would like to see that changed, and I would like our community to welcome us in and see the mutual benefits that having a roller skating association in their midst would provide them. And it's not just for women, it becomes for women and their families and their children and the men involved in their lives as well. I think it's really important. It's such a simple thing. I mean, for as low as $100, you can have an item that almost gives you unlimited freedom and resource to exercise. So, I mean, that's a third of your latest video gaming console. And you're getting your kid outside. Like, don't get me wrong, I love myself some video games, ask anybody, but I still think it's important to have that balance. And having this community center would be such a step forward for the presence of roller derby and roller skating. So many people come into my store and they miss local roller rinks. So many people talk to me about, oh, the terrace. A rink that was downtown and is now another
condo.
Well, yeah, it might be up there or next to a condo. I think it's like some sort of shopping center now. I know I've looked it up. It's just one of those things. It doesn't exist. It's dead to me now. Move on. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I have to keep life. It doesn't exist. Move on. But I would like to see something like that exist. The closest place that we can go to roller skate in your kind of bog standard, atypical roller rink is in Mississauga. You can get there by public transportation. You can take the Clarkson GO train. It's literally next door to it. Or it's like a 15-minute drive from the Jameson exit at the Gardner. That still seems really far. I mean, if you are a Parkdalian, for instance, that's a real schlep for you. A lot of people that are in that area, that's their community, that's their neighborhood. They don't really leave that neighborhood. As most people find in the city of Toronto, you really stay within your pocket. Mm-hmm. From going west to east seems like you've left town. Going north of Bloor, for some people, feels like they've left town. So just to have something centralized and become a hotspot and known, I think would be amazing for the development of the area, because it is such an interesting area, particularly Parkdale, and where and how that neighborhood has come from really sketch town. Mm-hmm. And everyone still kind of goes, ooh, Parkdale, and you see the shoulders, ooh, you're careful there, keep your keys in your hand kind of thing. And yeah, it has elements of that, but the rawness of Parkdale is a beautiful thing. And so many people that have gone in there, big artist community, and everybody knows that, it really changed the face of it. And now it's known as Partydale, because so many people have realized what a kind of a hip happening place it has evolved to. But as it grows, I would also like roller skating to be, when you think that area, oh, isn't roller skating really popular in that area? Like the Venice Beach of Toronto. Yeah. I would love to see that.
I'd like to talk about both of those things, about the changing face of Parkdale and your vision for that part of this city, mm-hmm. as the Venice Beach North. First, let's start with Parkdale. Your store is in what I would describe as a challenged neighborhood. It has historically been and defiantly
it's
remains
perfect for me.
Working class. Oh, yes?
Yeah,
excellent.
I love a challenge.
It's I would describe it as I say, defiantly working class. It is ethnically diverse, and it's mm-hmm. being dragged kicking and screaming through the process of gentrification. So so why there, of all places in town?
Well, I moved away to the UK when I was 23. I was working in the music industry, and I took just 4 years abroad. I just pieced out of the country. And when I came back, I landed in Parkdale. And it just instantly felt comfortable and awesome and home. And that was in, when did I come back? 2005, 2006 in there? Yeah, 2005 I came back. Found myself in Parkdale, right on Sorora, and staying with a friend and getting to know that neighborhood and Mitzi's sister, which is now known as The Sister. And I really liked it. My background, I grew up in Oshawa, Ontario, which is a hardcore GM town. And a little bit rough. People know it as the Schwa. You know, and it has a reputation. Parkdale felt a little bit like home to me right away, where, yeah, there's some rough pockets, but it's real and it's raw. And then you've got your working class, and you've got a really creative community around you, too, that kind of goes, well, we can all get in this together. It's no problem. You make X amount this year. You make negative this amount this year. Whatever. It's cool. There's just a sense of connection with people that it's okay, we're all diverse and we're all going to make it through, and we all like our neighborhood. There's just something that has a lot of heart in that neighborhood that I really appreciate.
And now, during the redevelopment of the community, it's been growing so quickly and in such a focused direction, there's a moratorium on bars and restaurants. And it seems that the moratorium and this redevelopment, these two directions are coming from different senses of place or different ideas of what Parkdale is and should be. On both sides, people are committed to Parkdale as the place, and a meaningful place, obviously, mm-hmm. but they disagree on their definitions of that meaning. So what do you see as the opportunities and the challenges of living and owning a business there?
That's a big one. But I'll go back to, everyone is going to have their opinion on what something should be or shouldn't be. I mean, it's the same opinion of what roller derby should or shouldn't be, and what, if you're living in Parkdale, what it should and shouldn't be. Or if you're a person that just comes and hangs out in Parkdale because it's been of a hot spot, but you don't live or work there or what have you. Everyone is always going to be divided. You cannot please everyone all the time. It's a big fat lesson to learn, and you got to learn it quick. You'd have to wipe out all of Jameson and all the low-rise buildings and completely revamp the area for that area to be fully gentrified. There are some stunning homes there. Like, property value has gone up and up and up. But that's because there's so many people that have invested their lives into that area. There's people that have been there 40-plus years or more. And they have seen the changes there. And many people have approved them. Many people approve the, for the same reasons that they're mad about this restaurant and bar moratorium, because they feel that all these people have come in, invested their time and money and business into the area, and they should be applauded for that because it's making such change and bringing up the value of the area. And these are the things that I've been gathering, reading and looking at comments online, and then actually physically attending the community consultation meeting on Monday hosted by Gordon Perks and a couple of city planners. And it caused a real divide in that room. There's like 100 people or so. And I get it. I agree on both sides. But I do think it's really important to question, where is our future? I mean, we're all in a relationship together there. I might not know them, but there is a connection. It always has a ripple effect. And sometimes you don't see things straight away. It takes some time. Like when you have a recession, a lot of people don't see that till really the years later. It doesn't actually affect them. And it's the same thing that's going on in Parkdale. I think it's awesome. I think it's thriving. I think it's vibrant. But I'm also not in my 20s anymore. I'm in my 30s and I see things a little differently. If I was in my 20s, yeah, Parkdale's awesome. I'd love to party there. It's so great. All my friends hang out there. And I may or may not live in that area. When you're living in that area and you're not in your 20s, what happens in the daytime is very different from what happens in the nighttime. And as a business owner, I'm really seeing that. Yes, it's vibrant as all hell down there. Restaurants that are open at night, the clubs, there's people lined up filling the sidewalks. And when I say filling the sidewalks, sometimes that's not such a good thing. When you're trying to get from A to B, it's frustrating to have a bunch of 20-somethings, 30-somethings, even including myself, drunk, smoking, being belligerent, loud, because that's what we are. In your 20s, you know, full, go for it. I did it hardcore and I still do it when I can, but you're in someone's space. You're in someone's home, essentially. That street's still someone's home, their area. And because Parkdalians really feel that that's their community, you know, they can get a little bristled when things, why are you pissing in my laneway? Fair enough. Why are you doing that? There are facilities, or the city should consider having them. Why aren't there more areas for people to designated smoke so we're not clogging the walkways and the arteries there? As a business that's predominantly open in the daytime, and particularly on my strip, I'm on the far west side of where the moratorium is happening. It's going from Dufferin to Roncesvalles, and I'm more on the Roncesvalles strip. But in the future, I'm wondering how much trickle-down effect is it going to have to Roncesvalles, where people are getting their permits and being able to sell alcohol. And what people do and do not understand, and there's a frustrating element of the city can only do so much. Sometimes it's a provincial issue. So when there's an objector to a license, it's not that they're objecting it and saying, F you, we don't want you to have your business here. It's saying, okay, well, but we're going to set some parameters on it. And I'm okay with that too. You know, it's just so it's not all willy-nilly and a free-for-all. The impact that having a bunch more restaurants and bars could have, I mean, the numbers were really telling on the Monday night meeting. And that people have been there for 40 years, they're divided. Some say, no, this is a great thing. I've never seen Parkdale better. This is great. I feel safer walking the streets at night. I don't really know how much they're walking the streets at night, to be honest. They might say they are. And apparently crime has gone down. Because it's if you want to get some drugs, hard drugs, you can go to Parkdale and mess your entire life up and be a potential A&E intervention show. You can do that there, but you can also really change your life for the greater good in Parkdale as well. You can go either way, but light, that's life. You can have that anywhere. But Parkdale's one of those places where there is a very clear divide between the classes. It is what it is. For me to think about what would happen in the strip that I'm at, which a lot of people have said, you know, I'm more west of Triller. Oh yeah, I don't go down there. It's all antique stores. Well, yeah, it really has been. But apparently before there were antique stores, there were some shady bars. back in the day. So that could potentially resurface itself. And it also, for me, what does that mean as a business owner if this becomes like a serious honeypot and hotspot for people? Well, there's not a lot of regulations for my landlord to, you know, not say, you know what, you've been here 3 years. This is, but there's somebody that wants to come in is offering me an extra $2,000 a month. I'm not going to be able to offer that because I'm not going to have the turnover of business and just, you know, pouring drink after drink where I have a really great return and profit margins on that. It doesn't work for me in my business model. So that concerns me. What is it going to like? What is the change?
And so when thinking about that change, you're doing what you can to steer it, as you mentioned earlier, and you also told the National Post, you rent roller skates out of your store, which has immediate access to the waterfront trail.
Yeah, that's the key part of me being in that area, the whole Venice Beach vibe.
Yeah, exactly. So can you speak about that? What does it mean to turn that part of Toronto into Venice Beach?
I would like to see that area just be known as that's the place for roller skating, because I'm just so hooked on roller skating and I really love the west side of Toronto. I don't want it to be Parkdale to be continued to known as the sketchy part of town or things like that. I like the sketch element, but I don't want people to fear going there if there's an opportunity. I mean, if we had a bowling alley there, people would be like, oh, that's like the only place to bowl in the city, rather than going, if you want to go bowling now, you can go downtown, and I believe it's rather premium rates to be getting lanes. Well, the way I price my product in the store, the way I price the opportunity to rent skates, and even the Sunday skate sessions at the West End Waivers Roller Skating Association do, we keep costs low because I'm trying to accommodate all the classes there. In that, I understand some of you are on a really, really tight budget. Let's work within that. Some of you, yeah, you can just go buy $500 skates, no problem. But this person over here has got X amount of money to last this month, so they can throw it $10 to just borrow some skates and see if they like it. They could try before you buy.
And in terms of Venice Beach, I mean, what is it about that neighborhood and its sense of place and its identity, not only within its own immediate California community, but its reputation as well, that you'd hope to impart to Parkdale?
A little bit quirky. I think Parkdale does have a lot of quirky people. It is a mix. I mean, I don't know what's that website where it's hipster or homeless. And I really feel that Parkdale is that neighborhood. You could look around and be like, you know what? I don't know how much money that person has in their pocket, because everyone's kind of doing their thing. And that's fine. And it kind of does have a Beatlesque Lennon Let It Be vibe in the area. Like, it's no problem. Or if somebody needs a hand, it will be there. But it has a fun aspect. I mean, I think Parkdale is a lot of fun. I think the business owners like myself and a couple other people that have cropped up, like the Pinball Cafe and Go Lounge, they're also playing off their passions and having some fun with it and making that area just have a sense of being different. But for tourist Toronto visitors, they go to the Fashion District, they go to the Entertainment District, and
one day they go to the Roller Skating District.
Soon enough. Toronto Life, where Toronto, they need to be putting it in and making it, here's something to do. When in Toronto, here's something you've got to check out. And I think that's really important.
That was roller skating standard bearer Gwen McDonald speaking about competing interests in the gentrification of Parkdale. The Public is a weekly conversation about ideas and undercurrents in Canadian culture on CIUT 89.5. If you have something you'd like to add, please be in touch. You can find us at thepublicconversation.blogspot.ca or through CIUT.fm. You can also email us at thepublicconversation@gmail.com. That's our show this week. We hope you'll tune in again. We're going to close today's show with a roller skating jam called Saturdays by De La Soul.
Saturday. Saturday is a Saturday, it's a Saturday, it's a Saturday. Saturday is a Saturday, Saturday is a Saturday.
Back once more with the wall up in the score. Smash about a riff, shit, and make you rock your hip. Revival of the roller boogie in a ricochet to make you think about the time we spoke fun instead of fight.
But diving from a piece of metal, should have jumped in life.
Slip your butt to the fix of this mix. Toss that briefcase, it's time to let loose. Cause you work like heck to get the week in check. So unfasten that sleeper on your neck. Connected like a vibe from the wheel to the foot. Come on, everybody, get the funky output.
5 days you work, one whole day.
Now as you pump your fists, I reminisce to a bounce rock skate low fest to impress. Hey, pretty diamond, do you like the way I'm dressed? Cool, keep the faith and be my mate, cause all we need is feet. But promote the hustle, cause it keeps me thin. No need to talk, look who just walked in.
Is there a dread on stage?
Yes, man.
So kick the wham on this jam.
Oh, Mr. Sprinkler, Mr. Sprinkler. Wet me for one, Mr. Sprinkler. I'm heating high five and a day's no split. The yawn, I trip to the dawn. Out comes the bodies following the one idea. It's clear, rattle to the roll. Hold back up the track, grab your roller skates, y'all. And let's zip on by. Zippity doodle, let's zip on by. Feed on the weed and we're feeling high. Sun is on thick and the cheese is rolling thick. Come on, it's no time to hide. Season is twist, spinning and winning. No hack and sack, let me in. Spill on the bottom of wave, but it's okay. It's a Saturday. Now let's all get baked like Anita.
Watch Mr. Lawn, don't look at the Peter.
Feel on the farm, I'll feel on the...
Hey, watch that.
It's a Saturday.
Now is the time to act.